Hey y'all, I'm Damon Oates, founder of Deco Exchange. Who else has heard that crafting is just a hobby? I turned my love of crafting into a thriving, multi-seven-figure company, surrounded myself in an amazing community, and met some amazing business owners along the way. I'm here to show everyone that makers mean business. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Makers Mean Business podcast. This is episode 9, and today we're going to talk to Andrea Brown, aka the Queen of Joy. Y'all, Andrea has been a member of our business coaching group since the beginning, and the changes she's made in her business have allowed her to share her joy with thousands of people all across social media. So let's jump right into the interview, y'all, and hear more about Andrea's story. All right. Hey, Andrea, can you introduce yourself and tell us just a little bit about what you do?
Yes, I'm Andrea Brown with Ranch House Reese & Moore, Ranch House Craft Supplies, howtochoosejoy.com. First of all, I'm a maker. I create wreaths, centerpieces, etc. That's been what I've done for 40 plus years. And but more importantly, I've found that people need to be inspired by my story, by some of the, you know, things that I've gone through and still been able to come out, choosing joy and having a happy life and creating pretty things. And so that's really become this strange life that I live now, where I'm constantly trying to encourage and hopefully have been successful.
So how did you get started?
Well, back in 1980, I'm dating myself here, I took some classes. Austin at that time had a, where you could be certified to work with, well, real flowers. And so I took those classes because I love nature and florals, and it seemed like the natural thing to do. Along came baby one. So that kind of, you know, stalled things a bit, but I found artificials. They weren't then like they are now at all. And started creating. And back then we did it. We had what Austin had, this show called the Sammy Show. It was a huge event at the convention center, and it was a juried show. And so I did Sammy shows for a long time. I did other craft shows, you know, local things in Austin, and flea markets. Not the flea market of today where it's a bunch of junk from China, but where people actually went to purchase things that people made. There were a lot of different makers then. So that's how it all started. It was so that I could make an additional income to give my kids all those little extra things, you know, and to give them a big Christmas or a big birthday or a vacation. And so that's how it started. And then, you know, baby number two comes, and baby number three, and baby number four. And my life became very, very busy. So I had less and less time to create. I always made time, and I created something, even quilting. I did all kinds of things because I think some of us are just born with that gene where we can't help ourselves. We have to create, even as children. So that's where my ever humble start in the business world of creating or being a maker started. However, I did not understand when I decided to come back into the industry, this thing called e-commerce. I was totally lost. I didn't know what to do. I made recent things for churches and people and things like that. And then I got on Facebook and I found this young man named Damon who was on there, a guy making these amazing mesh wreaths. I'm not a mesh person. Not that I don't like it. I'm just not, it's not my thing. But that kind of changed. And so then I immediately joined your group, your business coaching group, and learned how to have an e-commerce business and how to be successful with it. And, you know, all the things that go along with it. It's not as simple. Well, let me put it this way. It's easy, but it's not simple. It actually takes work. So that's where it started.
Yeah. And has being a maker always been an easy thing for you, or always a way to choose joy?
I think so. I think being a maker is for a lot of us. I know from, you know, from so many that I've met in the last 3 or 4 years, especially, it's sort of a therapy. You know, it's cheaper than therapy, actually, believe it or not, even with all the ribbon, you know. So, yeah, I think so. You know, it's sometimes it's as simple as making your house beautiful, making something for your home or as a gift. I know I did a lot of making gifts when I just didn't have the money to buy people gifts for their special occasions. So I made them. My children, all four of them were a maker of some type or another. So yeah, making has always been a part of my life, even as a young person.
And has it always been easy?
No, it has not. The making itself is easy. As long as the hard part is keeping current. And that, I think that's a problem for those of us, you know, I'll be 60 next year. And I think for those of us in my age category, we kind of tend to get into our comfort zone of design, you know, something that we've always done. Like back in the day, it was mauve and blue and swans or ducks. Well, those days are over. So as a maker, I think probably the most difficult thing, one, is step out of your comfort zone. And two, is to keep it current, keep it relevant. If you want to be a maker that sells things, you have to make what people want, whether it's your thing or not, even mesh, just saying.
The anti-mesh person.
No, not anti-mesh. You know why? It's rough on these old hands, except the new paper mesh. It's not.
Yeah. So I know like your story hasn't always been joyful. You've had some hard times. How did being a maker help you come out of that hard time?
Well, there are a lot of hard times that are actually going to be in the book that, you know, I don't need to explain today. But obviously, when I lost my children in April of 2000, I went through whatever, all the processes that you have to go through. But I always was able to return back to being a maker. For example, this may sound terrible to somebody, but I made it my job as part of continuing to take care of my children, the two that passed, making their gravesite beautiful, putting out flowers and making sure that they laid just right and they were planted just right. And I put a box out there and just all kinds of things in regards to that. And that really helped. It helped to drive up to their gravesite and it be beautiful. And that was part of the maker in me. I started quilting, which is making also, because I wanted, and I taught myself because I wanted to be able to take their clothes and make a quilt out of their clothes and wrap myself in that. Don't ask me if I've made that quilt yet, because I haven't. But so there was making in that. And then I've always worked with flowers, you know, out in the yard, flowers that you plant. That was important, but also wreaths for the door that welcomed people. We still had a home. We still had a family and we still had friends that visited. So we always tried to make it welcoming. And that was part of making my own things to be, you know, hospitable to them.
Yeah. And this hasn't only affected your life. It's also brought your daughter and your husband to be a part of your current business, right?
Absolutely. First, they were very encouraging when I decided to do this e-commerce thing, just selling wreaths, Etsy, you know, local, that kind of thing. They were all very supportive. Mom, you need to do this because you make too much crap. So you need to get it sold. So that was that's probably the reason they were so supportive. Get it out of the house, man. But there came a point when, well, actually, you did a challenge where you need to go live twice a week. No excuses. You couldn't even be in the hospital and use that as an excuse not to get your lives done for 6 months from June to the end of December. That challenge, I thank God and Damon. They're not the same person, just so y'all know. for that challenge, because first it pushed me out of my comfort zone. I've always been a speaker. I've always taught people from a stage. I wasn't nervous about that, but allowing somebody in to see your design process and how you do or don't make sense sometimes about what you're doing, that was really a challenge. But I did that challenge, and I was so proud of myself, because one of the things that, well, it was you at the time. Y'all, I'm not kissing his butt. It's the truth. He always encouraged not only stepping out of your comfort zone, but you've got to build an audience, and you have to know your audience. And so the only way I could do that from this little podunk town in Central Texas was on lives. And I was very blessed. I'm so thankful I had the courage to take that challenge. Damon, it made all the difference. And I have this amazing community of people, my own little tribe, for lack of a better word. And then the bigger picture, the community, I like to call it the community that love built. And you are the biggest influencer of that community and have encouraged so many people. And it's that community and that tribe that I built through that challenge that has made all the difference in our business. So in line with that, some of them were saying, I can't afford the product. I want to make it like yours because it looks better than mine, even when I use the same things. So I thought, okay, I can sell flowers. I can do that. And so that's how it started. And I sat down and talked with the girls and I said, if this really works, are y'all interested? That would be Jessie, my daughter, and my daughter in love, Deborah. And they said, yeah, we'll do it. Sure. And it worked. It was the weirdest thing. It worked. People liked what we did and they kept asking for more. Add this. And my granddaughter will be the future of this business. Just let me tell you, she is an entrepreneur like you wouldn't believe. She's the future Damon. But so it's helped with her too. My daughters took it by the horns. I don't have to worry about all the technical stuff that I don't like to learn about, as you know. And it allows Jessie, who has two chronic illnesses, to work around her illness, which is a blessing. And it allows my daughter, Deborah, to raise my granddaughter by being there and being present.
That's awesome. And it's amazing the trickle effect of what that is doing for you and your granddaughter, and then the listeners' children that are also participating.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that awesome? And it is funny how one little thing can affect so many people in a good way.
Yep.
Wish the world would know that.
So if you could go back to when you first started your online section of the business, what is one thing that you wish you would have known that you know now?
First of all, I would have made sure that I had a business coach. That is the first thing. People ask me all the time, how to start it as a business, how to get it going. That's my first piece of advice. Why? Because then you're never alone. You have some, and guys, be very careful about the selection of your business coach. Make sure that they know what they're talking about, that they have experience, those kinds of things. So do the research and get yourself a business coach that is a good fit for you so that you have someone that can lead you by example. The e-commerce world isn't as simple as people or as easy as people think. Ultimately, it's relatively simple once you get going, but you have to have a leader. And that, I'm very blessed, by the way, the business coach that I chose, and it made all the difference. And it gave me the courage to see outside what I already knew. You know, it's easy to be a maker, but it's not easy to be a business person in the making industry if you don't know what you're doing. So that probably would be the first thing. I wish you had been a business coach a couple of years sooner, just saying.
I was stuck at the 9 to 5.
Right?
So for someone just starting out, besides finding a business coach, what would be 3 quick and easy tips that you would suggest for them?
Get legal. We hear lots of stories about people not following the process. If you want to be in the business, run it like a business. If you want to have a hobby, run it like a hobby. But if you want to be a business, the first thing you need to do, I think it's, I can't think of her name right now, who says get legit. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to do. You know who I mean?
That's our friend Emily. She'll be on a future podcast for sure.
I'm sure. I love her. And that to me is the single most important thing. If you want to run it as a business, if you don't want to run it as a business, then keep on doing what you're doing. Secondly, don't depend on the support of your family, your friends, your little community, you know, in your world. If you're going to depend on them for the success and support that you need for your business, you're going to fail. Most people are happy for you when you're successful, but they don't necessarily want to be the one that buys all your wreaths or whatever it is you're selling, your signs, et cetera. So step outside of that. And part of that is Etsy. People are doing great on Etsy. Facebook, if you can go live, go live. For me, it made all the difference. And let me think. Third, challenge yourself. Have the courage to challenge yourself. And I don't mean go from doing a grapevine to doing a mesh. That's really not the kind of challenge I'm talking about. Challenge yourself. And part of challenging yourself is taking the time to invest in you. And by that, I mean, take the courses that you need. Don't just buy them, do them, take them. Read the books that you need. For whatever direction you're headed, buy the tutorials. They don't cost that much, and they will definitely guide you along your way. So those would probably be my three top tips.
Awesome. So basically, get legit, step out of your comfort zone, and be a course implementer and not a course collector.
I've collected a few, I'll be honest.
Me too. I have a whole graveyard of courses out there.
But you, inside that graveyard of courses, there were some that were a fit for you. And I think that's what's really important. And you know, it's nothing wrong with learning more and educating yourself, even in the industry that we're in. Plus, it'll give you a fresh confidence.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
So with all of the hectic things going on in the world right now with COVID and just life, have you had any major surprises in your business lately?
Wow, not real. You know, we didn't close our business. Thankfully, you know, it's just us, the same people at the ranch. Work we're not in the same house, but we all work at the same warehouse. So we didn't have to close, and we were able to offer, you know, continuous service, much like you did. We just had to make adjustments. One of the interesting things that I never thought about me, I was talking with an influencer who is also a mentor to me. He's a good friend of yours, I know. As a matter of fact, I think I met him through you or Rachel one. Anyway, he said, well, Dre, you are an influencer. What are you talking about? I'm not an, no. And then, you know, and he guided me to understand that if you are helping people in any way, but most importantly, affect positive change in their life, whether it's 5 or 5,000, you're an influencer. You're making a difference. And that was pretty eye-opening for me. As a matter of fact, he's the one who encouraged me to do the ebook and gave me a lot of direction.
Yeah, so you're talking about Roberto. Roberto is actually, he's scheduled to join us next week, maybe, on the podcast.
Awesome. So. Y'all got to tune in for that. He's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
He is. He really, second to you in the business world, he's probably one of the people who most influenced me, like in a direction. He kind of helped me forge a path for myself. And he taught me how to set goals in threes and not be so overwhelmed by goals. because sometimes they overwhelm me. Although it's one of the things I tell people you must do. You have to visualize your future so that you can visually see where you're headed. And yeah, he's a great guy. I always recommend him and his Ready to Propel parts, the things that he does.
Yeah, for sure. So you've mentioned ebook a few times. You want to tell us about what's coming?
I will tell you a little bit, because the rest you have to buy to read.
Yeah.
So as you know, I do Coffee with Dre every Monday. It was an accident during that challenge. I wasn't prepared for a live completely, and I had already scheduled it. And Jesse says, Mom, you're having coffee. Just let them have, just talk to them. Talk to them and drink your coffee. I was like, all right, I can do that for 15, 20 minutes. Turned into a 2-hour live. And all I did was told them a little bit about my story. And they all just like, Dre, how did you? How are you so strong? How do you bury children? Look at, you got a permanent smile on your face. How? And so Coffee with Dre was born. And it's been going on almost 2 years now. And it's every Monday. And it's really me facilitating people in an interchange of encouragement with one another, where people tell their story. You know, everybody has a story, and it's really makers in particular, it seems, have some kind, the majority, not all, have some kind of sadness from their past, an accident, losing a house, it could be any number, ugly divorce, loss of children, loss of a spouse. So people started saying, you ought to write a book. Like, yeah, okay, I got time for that. You ought to write a book. And so I thought, you know what? I ought to write a book. When COVID hit, I thought, oh my goodness, I cannot sell a book to people right now. And Roberto, and I can't remember the young lady's name on one of his classes, said, what do you mean you don't want to charge people? They need you right now. There's bad things. And this was just at the beginning stages of COVID. They need to hear that they'll be able to make it through, and that things will be okay. And they need to understand things that they can do through the process. This is what he told me. He said, Dre, you've been through a mess. That gives you a message. You can't have that message and share that message if you haven't worked through the mess. And I thought, well, that's freaking brilliant. And so I started writing. And let me tell you this. Writing a book is not just putting words on paper. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of people, a lot of players. So it was supposed to be complete before today, but it's within the next couple of weeks, it'll be released. We do have a waiting list started at howtochoosejoy.com. And that's what it is. Basically, it's a journey, my journey, because I'm not a professional psychiatrist. I'm not a grief counselor, although I play one on live. And there is disclaimers to that, but I have experiences, and it goes beyond the loss of the children. That's the most obvious, right? It goes to a divorce, a ugly divorce, losing a home, losing my dad, and how I made it through these steps in my life, and how other people have shared with me how they made it through. Because choosing joy is just that. It's a choice, but you have to cultivate it. There's things you have to do every day to be able to have that reserve in your core of joy to pull from. So that you can be an encouragement, so you can be a servant, not just to yourself, but to others as well.
Absolutely. And you said they can find that at choosejoy.com?
Howtochoosejoy.com is the waiting list, where okay. Those that join the waiting list will have a reserve copy immediately, of course, but will be notified the moment it actually releases.
Awesome. So besides howtochoosejoy.com, where can they find you online if they want to listen to Coffee with Dre?
They would go, it's Facebook at Ranch House Reese and Moore. That's Coffee with Dre. It's 10 o'clock Central on Monday mornings. And like I said, it's not just me talking, although sometimes I do get on a little bit of a soapbox, but I'm allowed because I'm Dre. But it's a lot, of people encouraging one another and telling their stories. And, you know, it's turned into this most amazing thing. And thank you for that, Damon, because you gave me the courage to go forward and to be me. And you've kicked me in the pants a few times. Even sometimes you message Jessie and tell her, tell your mother this, you know, and I appreciate that because that's what keeps me going. There are days where I'm thinking, who the heck am I? Why am I doing this? And then some little bird will say something. And then I'm like, okay, that's it. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. When I think about coffee with Dre, I just think, you know, faith, joy, and love.
Aw, thanks. I mean,
those are the three things that you implement in that coffee talk.
Thank you. And that is thanks to our followers and the viewers and people in this beautiful community we're a part of. Now, Coffee with Dre has gone beyond our community. There's a lot of people that join that are not, but it's this beautiful community that we have of such giving souls that want to help people have a better life, not just by what they do, but by who they are. And that is really the constant inspiration. You know that, Damon. There are days where you just want to just put your head under the covers and forget about it. And then somebody will tell you some amazing story or something. And that's people in our community. They're awesome.
Yeah. So I actually use that as like a technique to help us get through some of those bad days, is to snatch those stories and those wins and those people's blessings and Absolutely. Save them. I call it my smile file.
I love that.
And whenever I need one of those stories, I'll just open up that file and read one.
All right. Well, I'm going to copy that. Jess, yeah. We need a smile file.
Absolutely. All right. So I have one last question for you.
Yes.
All right. So can you tell me what being a maker means to you?
Well, first of all, it means a lot of things, but I'm going to condense it. I get to wake up every single day and make something beautiful, sometimes something beautiful out of nothing. I get to surround myself by beautiful things, the florals, all this stuff. And through that, I get to smile. Like if I don't feel like smiling, it makes me smile. It makes the buyer smile. So being a maker is, first of all, it's extremely good therapy for the soul, for your own soul, which then allows you to be a better person for everybody else around you. Trust me, there's times I say, go to your studio, just go. Yes, even I have to be forced to choose joy sometimes. But it's something that I look forward to. I have a passion about it. And we always have to follow our passion, follow our dream. And that dream is that. And sometimes it's something that you can give to somebody else. But being a maker, first, it has to be about giving to yourself and allowing yourself to find the beauty in what you do. And that's what makes it the passion that I wake up with every day.
It's true. Yeah, all right, Trey. That's all I have for today. Thanks for being a guest. Oh, any last words or sentiments you want to share with anyone?
I think we covered it all, y'all. Just never give up your power. You know what I'm going to say, Damon? Never give up your power, the power to be you, the original you. Don't base your power on, don't give other people power to make your opinions for you. And always use some of that power to always, always, always choose joy, y'all. Bye.